Good morning. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Dalet. So we are up to the third blot in the Masechta, and as we'll see, today's blot is actually going to be very wide-ranging. It's going to take us through all sorts of laws, the laws of Sukkah, the laws of how many placements of blood are to be placed on the Mizbeach in order to bidyeved, in the worst case scenario, successfully get atonement, even if a person doesn't put the blood four times on the Mizbeach with a Karban Chatas. We're going to get into many, many areas of law. And the common denominator, why we're getting into all these areas of law, is a question that we have in several places in Shas, and that's called Yesh Eim Lemikra, or Yesh Eim L'Masores. Is the mother the way it's read, or is the mother the way the tradition is to write it? Many times in the Torah you have a word, it's read, let's say, Sukkos, meaning multiple Sukkos. But it's written, the tradition of how to write it is Samach Vav Chaf Taf, Sukkas. It's the written would be as if it's a single sukkah. So is the primary way to interpret a text the way the text is read, or is the primary way to interpret the text the way the text is spelled? And many times those are two different meanings. It could be read one way, but spelled another way. So that's going to be the topic of today's daf. Yesh Eim LaMikra or Yesh Eim LaMasores? Do we primarily look at the way the Mikra is, the way the word is read, the way it's pronounced? Or do we look primarily at the Masores, at the way it's spelled, at the tradition of how to spell it, even though it's not read in that way? We have a tradition to pronounce it differently. Okay, so before we get into all these exciting cases, Sukkah and blood from two different dead corpses, and how many placements of blood, bidyeved, in the worst case scenario, do you need to put on the Mizbeach to get atonement, and, how many days a woman is Tameh if she gives birth to a baby girl. First, we begin back again with the issues of Sanhedrin, the issues of judges. So we're at the second wide line on Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots. Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braisa. Dine Mamanos B'Shlosha, the view of the Chachamim, the view of the Tanakama, is that monetary issues are to be resolved by a court of three judges. Rebbe Omer B'Chamisha. But Rebbe says, Rebbe knows Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, the person who put together the Mishnayos, he says monetary issues are to be resolved with the court of five judges. Wow, where did he get five from? So the Braisa says, Kadei sheyigmar adin b'shlosha, so that you can come to a conclusion. So therefore you need to have five. That way if they split up, you'll get three voting one way. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If you had a court of three, you'll also get to a conclusion. If one thinks one way, one thinks the other way, the third will be the machriya, the third will be the deciding vote. You'll have two against one. So why do you need to have five? Three also can get you to a conclusion. So the Gemara explains, Hachikama, this is what Rebbe means. Mipnei shigmar din b'shlosha. Because the conclusion, the winning side, has to have three on it. In other words, when we have a law of three, which we went through yesterday, two possible sources for three, either because the word Elohim is mentioned three times, so Elohim means an expert judge, or we don't interpret the first Elohim because Ein Darshin Tchilos, and rather we have the word Elohim twice, which is two judges, Ein Bezdin Shakel, you can't have an even Bezdin, so you end up with three. So if we have verses saying we need to have three, either because the word Elohim three times, or the fact that Elohim is two times, or you can't have an even court, but bottom line, we have verses saying three. When a verse says three, it means three at the conclusion. Three winners. The winning vote had three. So that means you have to have five, because then the winning vote will always have three.
What about three unanimous votes?
Right. So that would also, in theory, could have worked. But you can't go into a court case knowing you're going to get unanimous, so you have to go into a court case with five, so that you'll always have three. So the Gemara says, Alma Kasavar, so you're trying to interpret Rebbe, that Tlasa, that he holds, that three Kiksivi that are written, Bigmar Dinaksivi. That's teaching you something about the close of the court case. The conclusion ends with three. So Maskif Megadif Ba Rebavo. So Rabbi Avo cursed this idea. He was shocked by it. It didn't make any sense to him. One second. You're going to say that according to Rebbe, when the Torah speaks of three, it means at the end there's three. So when the Torah speaks of 71, it means at the end there's 71. So you're going to say that the highest court in the land was 141 judges, that the conclusion always was with 71. Tei Sanhedrin Ketana, that means the smaller courts that deal with life and death issues. Tzrichim Arvam V'chamisha, need 45. Kedei Sheyigmer Adin B'shloshim V'esrim, so that court cases close with a vote of 23 on the winning side. That's insane. How do we know it's insane? Look at the verses there. What's the verse for 71 judges? It's in Parshas Baaloscha. When Moshe complains that he can't deal with the people, he doesn't have meat to give them, they're complaining to him. So Hashem says, okay, gather 70 judges. Esfali shivim ish. Gather for me 70 judges. The gathering is the end of the court case or the beginning of the court case? The beginning. That means the beginning has to be 70 judges. Amar Rachmanim Yishayas Asifa shivim. Hashem is saying at the moment of the gathering you need 70. Then when we talked about how do we know 23, because on the one hand the Torah says a community will convict, a community will acquit. So it means community is 10, Eda is 10. So there also it's not the final decision. The Shaftua Eda, the Hitzilua Eda, the Eda will judge, the Eda will save. Misha Shvitas Ha'Eda. At the moment of the judging you have a community of an Eda. So Achanam is here too. When we talk about the three, the Nikrav Balabayas Elo Elohim, that means Mishas Kreva, at the moment of gathering, we need Shlosha, we need three judges. Okay, so we're back to the question. In the Braisa, the Chachamim say we need three judges on monetary issues. Rebbe says we need five judges. What's five all about? So we say, well, maybe he wants five because he wants a conclusion. Well, with three also you can get a conclusion. Maybe he wants five so that the conclusion will always have three. Why does the conclusion need three? The same way the conclusion doesn't need 71 in a bigger cases, and it doesn't need 23, the conclusion doesn't need three. The beginning needs three. Ella Heinu time of the Rebbe. So the reasoning of Rebbe of how he got to five was based on the words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk, the key Pasuk that we're going to talk about according to Rebbe, the Pasuk says, Al-Koldvar Pesha, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Salma, Al Kol Avedo, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. You know, whenever there's a dispute between the depositor and the watchman, Ad Ho Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem, until the expert judge, the two claims will come. And then the verse ends with the phrase, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, he that the judge will convict, in the plural tense, Yarshiun, Yeshalim Shnaim L'Re'ehu, should pay double to the friend. So Rebbe said like this, Asher Yarshiun. Remember, there's Lashon Rabim and Lashon Yachid. In singular tense, you would say Yarshia. In plural tense, you say Yarshiun. Since the verse says Asher Yarshiun Elohim, those that the expert judges will convict, Trey. That means that there are two judges spoken about there. Now, Ne'amar Elohim L'mata v'ne'amar Elohim L'mala. In the same pasuk, we have the word Elohim twice. It ends off with the words Asher Yarshiun Elohim, and before that we had Adu Elohim Yavod Varshnehem. So Mala Mata Shnayim, just as at the end it's two judges, Af L'mala Shnayim. So too at the beginning of the verse it's two judges. So now we're saying that the verse itself is saying four judges. And now Rebbe holds, in Bezdin Shakel, you can't have a court of only four, because you can't have a court that's even. Mosif and Aleim Odechad, we have to add another. Harei Kan Chamisha, that's how Rebbe gets to five judges. So we resolve the question. The question was, how does Rebbe get to five judges? The answer is, it's based on the words. The Torah says, Asher Yarshiun. It doesn't say Asher Yarshia. It says, Asher Yarshiun, which is plural, Asher Yarshiun Elohim. That means plurals of expert judges will convict. So that means Elohim, the word expert judge, means multiple expert judges, at least at the end of the verse. So then he says, if it means multiple expert judges at the end of the verse, it means multiple expert judges at the beginning of the verse. That means 2 plus 2, 4. 4 must have another one, ends up with 5. Okay, so what's the view of the Tanakhama? Virabana, now starting today's daf, what's the view of the sages? So they'll tell you, Yarshi'un k'siv. It's true that the way to read the verse is Yarshi'un, that they will convict in the plural tense. But how does the Torah tell us to spell the verse? Yud reishin yud ayin nun sofit. There's no vav between the ayin and the nun sofit. It's spelled in the singular tense, but it's read in the plural tense. So the Rabbanan said, well, it's spelled in the singular tense. So in the singular tense, it means a single judge, because we follow the way it's spelled. And apparently Rebbe says we don't follow the way it's spelled. We follow the way it's read. So here is our dispute. Yesh eim la mikra. Do we follow the way it's read, like Rebbe? Or yesh eim la masores. Do we follow the way it's spelled, like the sages? Amar of Yitzchak bar Yossi. Amar of Yochanan. So Rav Yitzchak bar Yossi, sending Rav Yochanan. We're going to have now a list. Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda ben Roatz. Beis Shammai. Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Akiva. So we're now going to travel all the way through Shas, 5 different Tanaim, 5 different issues of Jewish law. Kulu Sfirlu, all of these 5, Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda ben Roatz, Beis Shammai, Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Akiva are all of the opinion. Yesh Eim LaMikra, the primary way to interpret a verse is the way the verse is read, the way it's pronounced, not the way it is spelled. Rebbe, how that mind? What we just said. How did Rebbe end up with 5 judges? Because he said the word next to Elohim is Yarshi'un. They will convict, the plural. But it's not actually written that way. It's written without a vav. But he says that's the way we read it. And the way we read it is what matters. So Rebbe, you see, is focused on the way we pronounce the word, the way it is read. Yeah, question, Lloyd.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. How do you read it differently than how it's written?
Because we have a tradition. We have a tradition how we're supposed to pronounce it. Even though the Torah text doesn't have dots in it, so it's spelled, you know, an ignorant, let's say, Arab child who would read it would probably read it the way it's spelled. But we have a tradition to read it differently. So according to Rabbi, we look at the way we read it. That was done much later. That was done by the grammarians in Tveria, the Ben Asher family. That was much later. It's not in the Torah text.
Rabbi?
Yeah, question.
I'm sorry, it says by Yashu'un for regard by Mikra, 2 and 2 and 4. To put the 5 is the Rabbanan, it's not for Mikra because we need life.
No, it is Mikra because the Torah wants us to have a quorum that will always come to a decision. So,
always.
Yeah, so 2 plus 2 being 4, we can't stick with 4, we have to end up with 5. All right, so this was the first topic of Yesh Eim LaMikra, the number of judges. All right, next topic is going to take us into when a woman gives birth. The Torah says that when a woman gives birth, Parshas Tazria, when a woman gives birth to a boy, she's Tamei 7 days, and then the next 33 days, she's Tohor. Even if she has blood, she's still pure. But then the Torah says that if a woman gives birth to a girl, Vitam'a Shvu'ayim. But actually, it's not spelled Shvu'ayim. It's not written Shin Bet Vav Ayin Yud Mem. It's written Shin Bet Ayin Yud Mem. It's written, it's spelled as Shiv'im, as 70. Ah, so here, the time we did a Braisa. Shalu Talmidavet Rabbi Yehuda ben Roatz. So the students were sitting with Rabbi Yehuda ben Roatz and they said like this, oh, we're reading the Psukim in Parshas Tazria. Ekra Ani Shiv'im. Maybe I should read it in the Kevate late if she gives birth to a girl. V'tam'a, she'll be Tamei Shivim, 70 days. Yachol Tehei Yoledes Nekevat Tamei Shivim. Maybe if a woman gives birth to a boy, she's impure for 7 days. If she gives birth to a girl, she's impure for 70 days. Amalahan, he said to them, no, that's not the way to read it. Timei V'tiher B'zachar. The Torah says if a woman gives birth to a boy, she's Tamei for a period, then she's Tahor for a period. Okay? And Timei V'tiher B'nekeva. The next verse says if she gives birth to a girl, she's impure for a period, and then she's pure for a period. So makashatir bezachar, just like the period of purity for the boy, binakeva kiflayim, with the girl, the period of purity is double that. So akashatir bezachar, so too, when the impurity of a boy, binakeva kiflayim, with a girl, it's going to be double. So we know that the days of purity, the Torah says explicitly, for a boy are 33, for a girl are 66. That means the days of impurity, since for the boy it's 7, for the girl it must be 14. And you can't read Shiv'im, you read Shvu'ayim. V'achar sheyatzu, after the students left, Yatzo Mazar Aleim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Roach ran after them. Amar Lehem, he said to them, Yatzim Zkukim Lekach, you don't even need to say that we know that a girl's period of impurity is 2 weeks, because she compared to a boy. Shvu'ayim Karinan. It's true that it's spelled as if it would say the word 70. But that's not our tradition of how to read it. Our tradition of how to read it is 2 weeks. And that's the main thing. Yesh Eim LaMikra. The main thing is the way our tradition is to read it, not the way it's spelled. So that was example number two. Example number three of Yesh Eim LaMikra, that we're following the way it is read. It's not, as we learned in a Mishnah, most of the karbanos, most of the sacrifices whose blood has to be sprinkled on the outer altar, namely sacrifices like Ola or Asham. So most of them are supposed to be given twice. You're supposed to take the blood, go to one corner and throw it on two corners, and go to the next corner on the other side and throw it on the next two corners. So it's a shtei matanot shein arba, two gifts that ends up reaching four sides. So most of the sacrifices, if you only put the blood once on the outer altar keeper, it works. Because it says, the blood of your sacrifices will be poured. But when you have a sin offering actually needs four placements. On each side, you need to place the blood. So then, if you placed it on only two sides, it also works. Two placements works. Beis Hillel say, Ach bechatas, even with the sin offering, shenasim matana achas, if you only placed the blood once on the altar keeper, you created atonement. V'am Ravuna, and Ravuna said, my time of the Beis Shammai, what's the reasoning of Beis Shammai, that the minimum amount of blood sprinklings on the altar of a sin offering have to be two? It's from the following. The Torah, when it talks about the sin offerings their blood being sprinkled on the altar, it's the way we read the words are kranos, put the blood on the corners. Kranos, put the blood on the corners. Put the blood on the kranos, the corners. Hare kan sheish, so corners is two. So two plus two plus two is six. So what do you mean six corners? There are four corners on the altar. Arba l'mitzvah. Four corners is the ideal. For sin offering, you're supposed to put the blood four times on each side, once on each side. Ushtayim la'akev, but two is the minimum. So the four corners are the ideal, and two corners are the minimum. But Beis Hillel say it's true that the way we read it is kranos, but that's not the way it's spelled. Kranos, it's spelled the first time, kuf resh nun vav taf, corners, but the other two times it's spelled kuf resh nun taf, which would be really the way to read that in the spelling, is single corner. So 2 + 1 + 1. Hare kan arba. So the Torah only talks about four corners. So it's saying shlosha lemitzvah, then added three, namely all four is the ideal. V'yachas li'akev, and only one is absolute requirement. Why don't you say that all four are just the ideal? And if you don't offer any blood at all, you still get atonement. No kapara b'chdi lo ashkechan. We never find you can get atonement without sprinkling any blood. So again here, what's the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Whether the minimum is two or the minimum is one, it all goes back to how we read words. Do we look at words the way we read them? We read them in the plural tense, so it's plurals. And then when we subtract one of those, we're left with four going down to two, or do we read them the way they're spelled? The way they're spelled, we only have four, and then we go down to one. All right, next halacha, Rabbi Shimon. That takes us to Masechet Sukkah. The time we looked at a braisa. How many walls does a sukkah need? Shtayim kilchas, on two walls full size, seven tefachim that is. Ushlish is the third wall, afilu tefach can be even a single tefach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you need four walls. Shalosh kilchas, some three walls are full size. Urevias afilu tefach. And the fourth is a tefach. But my kamiflugi, what's the argument? So again, the Gemara is going to say the same argument. Do we look at the way things are spelled, or do we look at the way things are read? So Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan Rav, the opinion, Yeshem Lamasores, we look at the way things are spelled. Rabbi Shimon Savri, Yeshem Lamikro, we look at the way things are read. Rabbanan Savri, Yeshem Lamasores, Rabbanan Savri, focus on the way things are spelled. When the Torah talks about sukkos, it says basukos, and then it says again basukos, and it says basukos. So two of the times it's spelled samachaf taf, which would be, that spelling would mean a single sukkah. So one sukkah, two sukkahs. So 1 + 1 + 2 is 4. Hare kan arba. Then we have the fact that dal chad kol gufe. One of these words can't teach us anything because we need it just to tell us in general that you go into a sukkah. So pashlu tlas. And now we're left with 3. And then asa yilchasa. Then we have a tradition from Moshe at Sinai that the third wall doesn't have to be full size. Garasa l'shlishis, it subtracts, it reduces the third wall. V'ukim te'a tefach, and made it only a single tefach. So why did Rabbi Shimon say you have to have 3 full walls? Because Rabbi Shimon holds that we don't follow the way it's spelled, we follow the way it's read. So the way it's read is basukos, in sukos, in two sukos. And then again basukos, which is at least 2 sukos. Then again basukos, which is at least 2 sukos. Hare kan sheish, so the verses are talking about 6. So 6 walls. Now, dal chad kol gufei, one of the words is out because we just need it in general to tell us the very basic point that we sit in a sukkah. Pashlu arba, so we're left with 4 walls. Asay hilchasa, then you have a tradition of Moshe from Sinai. Gar asal revias, which subtracts and reduces the 4th wall, vuk mesei atefach, and makes it a tefach. And who's the 5th opinion who says that we follow the way things are read? Rabbi Akiva. The time is willing to embrace Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva says, "Minayin l'revias dam sheyatzam mishnei mesim shematama ba'ohel." How do we know that if you get a revias of a log of blood out of 2 corpses, that blood can create impurity if it's under the same roof as somebody else? Shenamar, as the verse says, "Al kol nafshos meis lo yavo." Al kol nafshos. Nafshos is souls, and all the souls of a dead body shouldn't come. Souls meaning multiple bodies. Shtei nefashos, 2 bodies. Vashir echad, but it's mace in the singular. Only between the 2, only a singular revius. Rabbanan will tell you, no. You can only be, the only type of blood that would create tumas ohel is if it's all from 1 corpse, because the way that word nafshos is spelled is nun, pei, shin, taf, which is in the singular tense, nafshas ksiv. So we had 5 disputes, and we're suggesting all of them revolve around this question, whether it's how many judges you need for a monetary case, whether it's if can the blood of a dead body be from 2 dead bodies to create tumah, if it's a very minimal amount of blood, how many walls of a sukkah, how many minimum matanos of blood on a mizbeach, all of these issues revolve around the question, do we look at the way things are spelled or the way things are read? So the Gemara says, really? Can there be anyone who thinks that we look at the way things are spelled? Maskifla Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov challenged this. Miika de lesla yeshem la mikra. Is there anyone who doesn't think that the main focus is the way it's read as the tradition of how to read it? The Torah says 3 times, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Don't cook a kid goat in the milk of its mother. So yachol b'chalev. If you look at the way it's spelled, ches lamed beis doesn't have to mean chalav, doesn't have to mean milk. Ches lamed beis could be chalev, could mean fats. There's certain fats in the animal that we're not allowed to eat. They're called chalev. So maybe it's saying don't cook the meat in the fat of the mother, but you can cook the meat in the milk. The Gemara says, what are you going to have to say? Amrit, you'll have to say, Yeshem LaMikra. No, but we look at the way we read it. We don't read it, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chelev Imo. We read it, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Not Chelev, but Chalev. We read it as milk. So the main thing is the way we read it as the way we read it. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll have to reject what we said till now. Ela Tekuli Alma, so maybe everybody agrees. Yeshem LaMikra, we follow the way things are read. All right, well, what do we do with all these disputes? All right, so Rabbi Rabbanan, so now, in terms of how many judges you need in Dine Mamanos, Rabbi who says 5, Rabbanan who said 3, well, everybody agrees we follow the way it's read. So Rebbe Savar, so Rebbe will say, well, you follow the way it's read. At the end of the pasuk, it said, Yarshi'un Elohim. They'll be, the experts will convict them. Yarshi'un is plural, not Yarshia. Okay, so that means Elohim at the end of the verse is two, because that's the way it's read. And he just says like this, the Elohim at the end is two judges different, Achrini, from the judges earlier. So we have at the end two judges, then you have the word Elohim earlier. So just like at the end it's two, that means earlier it's also two, that gives you four, and then four becomes five. However, Rabbanan Savi, the Rabbanan hold like this. Yes, Yarshiun, we have to follow the way it's read, so Yarshiun is plural tense. But the two judges at the end is the one judge at the end plus the judge of the beginning. In other words, it's the Hayach V'Hay. Remember, in the same word, the same sentence as the word Elohim twice. Ad Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem, till the expert judge, they'll bring their dispute. And then, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, the one that the judge will, the one that the judges will convict. So since it's the same verse, and you have the word Elohim, maybe it's referring to the same people as before. In other words, why is it Yarshiun? Why is it now the plural tense? The judges of before and the judge of now together convict. So really the plurality is because we're including the judge mentioned earlier. So it's not that now it's two separate judges. Now if these are two separate judges and there you have the word judge, so that maybe is also two judges, so a total of four. No, what's going on is this is two judges because it's this judge plus that judge. So two can't be two, so you end up with three. All right. So that's not about really whether or not how you read it versus how it's spelled. We all agree to how it's read. Yeah, question, Wood.
I'm sorry to go back to this again, but there has to be, why would it be written that way? In other words, there had to be an intent to write it that way.
That's a very good point. So the Ramban says an amazing thing in his introduction to Chumash. The Ramban says that the way we have the Torah text is not the only way to represent the Torah text. These very same letters, with just the gaps between them in different spots, could spell out names of Hashem. And so sometimes something has to be written without a vav, not for this meaning, but for another meaning. But we have a tradition to read it as if it does have a vav. So now, Vahayv Rabbi Yehuda ben Roatz, the situation of Rabbi Yehuda ben Roatz, who said, okay, I know that when a woman gives birth to a girl, she's tummy 2 weeks because the way we read the word is shvu'ayim. Lo pligi Rabban Ale. No one argues with him. Now, Beis Hillel, who said that you only have to sprinkle once of the blood of the chatas to get atonement. 1 second. But we just said that everybody agrees to the way it's read. The way it's read is kranos, kranos, kranos. It should be six corners, two taken off. You should have to have two. No, the Tanya, the reason why Beis Hillel got to one is not because of Yesh Eim L'Masoris. He follows the way it's spelled. But rather, it's for the following reasons. The Torah talks about chatos, about the sin offerings, and it says v'chiper, and he will atone. V'chiper, and he will atone. V'chiper, and he will atone. So from the word v'chiper, and he will atone, which is singular, means he can atone with a single sprinkling of blood. So now we have a brice about this. B'pnei Adin. These words are needed because we might have interpreted differently based on logic. What would the logic have been? V'alo dinu, we would have said the following logic. Ne'amar dam lamata. There's blood that's sprinkled on the altar underneath the dividing line. There was a dividing line on the Mizbeach, l'chut ha-sikra, the red band, and some karbanos, like an olon and an asham, their blood was placed beneath that band, and other karbanos, like the chatas, the sin offering, the blood was placed above the band. So ne'amar dam lamata, ne'amar dam lamala. Now you have blood that goes above the band. So ma dam ma'murim lamata, just like the blood that's going beneath the band. If you only give once, it certainly works. So I would think that even with the chatas, if you give the blood only once, it creates atonement. Maybe we should go to the other way. Sometimes there's blood that's sprinkled on the outer altar. But sometimes there are sin offerings where the blood goes inside to the golden altar. Just like whenever the blood goes inside to the golden altar and to the paroches, if you don't give one of those offerings, the whole thing doesn't work. So too, if you are missing one of the blood offerings on the outer altar, nothing would work. So really, it's not so clear what we should compare the sin offering to. Done in chutz mi chutz, do we compare the sin offering of the outer altar to the ola of the outer altar? outside from outside, and don't compare it to that which is inside. Don't compare the outside to the inside. Maybe you should go to this direction. We should compare sin offerings that are supposed to be sprinkled on all four corners. On the outside, it should be learned from chatas, from sin offerings, and all from another sin offering, which is supposed to go on all four corners on the inside. And what happens with the olar, what happens with the asham, should not be approved. Shein chatas, those are not sin offerings. V'dalad kranos, they were never supposed to have four gifts. So therefore, based on logic, we couldn't figure it out. Talmud Lomer, that's why we have to have the following verse. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. And he will atone, and he will atone, and he will atone. Mipnei adin, based on logic, I might have thought to say that a sin offering needs four offerings of blood for it to gain atonement. So the Torah says, kiper, he will atone. Afapish lo nasan elo shalosh kiper. Even if he only gave three times, it worked. Then again, kiper, he will atone. Afapish lo nasan elo shtayim kiper. Even if he only gave two times, it worked. And then again, kiper. Afapish lo nasan elo achas. Even if he only gave once, it worked. So it's not that Beis Hillel are saying where we have kranos read as a single Karen? No, everybody has kranos as two kranos, but they have a different word, v'kiper, that teaches you that a single offering of the blood creates atonement. Now, going to Sukkah, we said now that everybody agrees, or we take it the way it's read, all right? So how did the Rabbanan end up saying that you have a total of three full walls and a fourth as a tefach? Rabbanan, Ripshin, Rabbanan, Ba'a Pligi, they're arguing a different point. Everybody agrees that basukos is two, so it's a total of six, but one of those two, one of the words basukos is taken out, just to tell me to sit in a sukkah, so you have four. So Reb Shimon Sav, Reb Shimon holds, schachalo bayakra, you don't take out another sukkah for the schach itself, because of course, how could you have a sukkah without schach? So therefore you have four, so the halacha l'moshe m'sinai reduces the fourth wall down to a tefach. However, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan of the opinion, you'd have basukos and basukos, that's a total of four. But one of those four is the schach, schach abayakra, you need for the schach, so you're left with three. And then of those three, the third gets reduced down to a tefach based on the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Now finally, if we're saying everybody agrees we follow the way it's read, Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan who argue whether the blood of two corpses can create tumas ohel or only the blood of a single corpse, Papli, they all agree to the way it's read, is the red nefashos. Rabbi Akiva says nefashos tarti mashma. Nefashos means two bodies, two souls here producing blood. And Rabbanan read it, nefashos, souls, the alma mashma. In other words, blood from corpses, but not from that this blood was two corpses. Blood from corpses in general creates impurity. But it actually is blood from a single corpse. Okay. So now the Gemara says, really? You really think there's no argument? Do you really think that everybody agrees we always follow the way it's read? But what about tefillin? The verse says about the tefillin, they should be a frontling between your eyes. But the way it's read is totafet, without the added vav. It's read as a single box. And then litotafet, again a single. Then the totafot, which is two. So harei kan arba. So one plus one plus two is four. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. You have to have four boxes on the head tefillin. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, I don't even need one plus one plus two. The word itself means four, because tat really means two. How do we know? In our modern Hebrew, the word tat doesn't mean two. Yeah, but in other languages, it means two. In Katfi, it means two. And Pat in Afriki, in Afrikaans, also is Shtayim is two. So two plus two is four. So 1 second. But Rabbi Yishmael, he said that he's following the way it's read. So Tefet. So you see, Yeshem Lamasoris, he's following the way it's spelled. All right, El Olam Pligi. We've got to go back again. Really, there is an argument whether we follow the way it's read or we follow the way it's spelled. But so 1 second, but what about Los Vashel Gadib Khalevi Mo? Is there someone who's gonna say it means in the fat of its mother? No. So Ki Pligi, where is there an argument? The Shani Krami Masoret, where it's read differently from the way it's spelled. Aval Hai Khalev Vichelev. If you wanted to spell the word chalav, how do you spell chalav? Ches lamed beis. How do you spell the word chalav? Ches lamed beis. So here, it's not being read differently from the way it's being spelled, so no one thinks that we should interpret it differently. Then certainly yesh eim lamikra. So Gemara says, that's so, but we have a mesechet chagiga. Hare yira yeira, if you read it yira'eh, or you read it yira'eh, he will see or he will be seen by, the chiyadadininu, they're both spelled the same way. Upligian, there is an argument. The tanya in the braisa, Yochanan ben Davai Shumri Yehuda ben Tema. Yochanan ben Davai says name of Yehuda ben Tema. Sumabach's main of Potman or Ea. If someone's blind in one eye, he's exempt from going up to the Beis HaMikdash on the three holidays. Shanama, because the Torah says, Yir'eh, you shall see, or he will see. Yera'eh, he will be seen. So it's written, you will see, but it's read as, it could also be read as, he will be seen. Kederach shebalei ra'os, the same way he comes to see you, kach balei ra'os, so too he's coming to be seen by you. Ma'liros b'shtei enav, Hashem comes to see with his two eyes, afli ra'os b'shtei enav, he's coming to be seen by those who have two eyes. So Ela amar rav acha b'rei rav ika, the reason why we know you can't cook milk and meat, and it's not that you can't cook milk with fat, because the Torah says, don't cook the kid goat. Derech bishel asra Torah. The Torah is prohibiting cooking. Cooking happens when you have meat with milk. When you have milk with fat, it's not cooking, it's frying. Frying is with fat. Cooking is with a liquid. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer.